This program is a production of Restoring the Core, an initiative designed to assist those wishing to go deeper into classic Christianity with resources available in a connected age. Online at restoringthecore.com. This is Finding Hidden Treasure, episode number 9. Today, we will be discussing the memorial of Blaise Pascal. Welcome to Finding Hidden Treasure, your weekly discussion of resources available for those looking to go deeper into the Christian faith. I'm Walter Hample. Do you own an object which, when you look at it, reminds you of some person you've known or some event you've lived through? How else could you answer but yes? Perhaps the only real question to then ask is how many of these do you own? Perhaps it's a book or a photograph. Among my favorite objects to bring back memories is a photo taken of my two sons and me at a baseball clinic on the field at Comerica Park in Detroit back in the year 2000. At that time, I had to kneel down to get close to their height. It was a great memory to have been able to take them to an on-the-field experience at the home of the Detroit Tigers, now over 12 years ago. It's not a coincidence that the items which you can buy at a shop near a tourist attraction are called souvenirs. The word souvenir is the French word meaning to remember. We even find a rather interesting type of souvenir mentioned in the Old Testament. In the book of Numbers, chapter 15, verses 37 through 40, God commands the Israelites to put a tassel with a blue cord on the corner of their garments for the specific purpose of the people to look at them and remember the commands of the Lord and to treat him as holy. The same holds true for memorials which are constructed to remember someone or something. If you ever have the chance to visit Washington, D.C., it will be difficult to miss the memorials to George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, as well as those dedicated to the war veterans of Vietnam and World War II. Today, we will be discussing a document known as the Memorial of Blaise Pascal. We will see that it is a rather remarkable writing from a rather remarkable man of the 17th century. First, let me give you some brief background. Blaise Pascal was born in Clermont-Ferrand, France, on June 19, 1623. He developed an early interest in geometry. In his life of less than 40 years, he would make remarkable progress in the fields of mathematics and science. He invented an early version of a mechanical calculator and would do a number of experiments in the area of barometric pressure. His work in this regard earned Pascal the use of his name as a unit of measure of barometric pressure in the metric system. His health was rather fragile throughout his life. Pascal died of a malignant stomach tumor at his sister Gilbert's house in Paris on August 19, 1662. Not only was Pascal interested in science and mathematics, but philosophy and theology as well. Perhaps his best-known philosophical work is Pensées, which is French for the word thoughts. It is a compilation of his ideas on a variety of topics. He was working on this book as a book for publication in the final years of his life. It never was published during Pascal's lifetime. Some of his followers completed the editing of Pascal's notes with the publication of the book in 1669, 7 years after Pascal's death. When I read Pensées several years ago, I was struck by how Pascal, in the 1600s, recognized the power of distraction to keep us from thinking upon eternal things and keeping our focus on earthly pursuits. He further recognized how we even purposely pursue such distraction. His take on this is summarized by what I think is my favorite quote from the book, quote, "All of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone," end quote. Pascal's wisdom on the power of distraction is especially relevant to those of us in the early 21st century, as we seem to pursue distraction through a variety of means of which Pascal could never have dreamt. Cell phones, television, radio, sports, as well as a world in which virtually every aspect of our lives can be done in a 24/7 environment. If Pascal was concerned about the corrosive power of distraction in the mid-17th century, how much greater is our potential for distraction in the high-tech world of the early 21st century? To understand a bit more about Blaise Pascal's faith background, it helps to know about a series of events which happened prior to November of 1654. Pascal's father was injured in an accident in 1646 and cared for by members of the Jansenist movement. The Jansenists were named after their founder, Cornelius Jansen. The Jansenists believed that the view of free will and predestination held by Martin Luther and John Calvin was wrong. They developed their own theology of free will and predestination, in attempting to do so in a Roman Catholic perspective. They rejected the theology of what is called the Counter-Reformation, the Roman Catholic response to the Reformation which had started a century earlier. Jansen and his followers held that the Counter-Reformation tended toward a heresy known as Pelagianism. Pelagius was a 5th century British monk who believed that humans are unaffected by the sin of Adam and Eve, and that we are capable of earning our way to heaven by our own efforts, independent of the grace of God. Pascal became involved with the movement at the time of his father's accident. When his father died in 1651, his sister became a nun in a Jansenist-run convent in the town of Port Royal. From 1652 to 1654, Pascal laid aside his interest in religion and became, to use a phrase of nowadays, a party animal. On the night of November 23, 1654, Pascal had a radical conversion experience. We know about this because of a document which he wrote concerning this experience. That document is sprinkled with information that allows us to not only date this event, but also to place it within a 2-hour window of time. The document has a mixture of Bible passages, as well as Pascal's vivid description of what he was thinking and feeling on that critical night in his life. Let me read to you from an English translation of this document. I am providing a link to this on the Restoring the Core website for this episode. The document reads as follows. The Year of Grace, 1654. Monday, 23 November. Feast of St. Clement, Pope and Martyr, and others in the Martyrology. Vigil of St. Chrysogonus, Martyr and others. From about 10:30 at night until about 12:30. Fire. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Not of the philosophers and of the learned. Certitude, certitude, feeling, joy, peace. God of Jesus Christ, my God and your God will be my God. Forgetfulness of the world and of everything except God. He is only found by the ways taught in the gospel. Grandeur of the human soul. Righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. Joy, 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 tears of joy. I have departed from him. They have forsaken me, the fount of living water. My God, will you leave me? Let me not be separated from him forever. This is eternal life, that they know you, the one true God, and the one that you sent, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I left him. I fled him. Renounced. Crucified. Let me never be separated from him. He is only kept securely by the ways taught in the gospel. Renunciation. Total and sweet. Complete submission to Jesus Christ and to my director. Eternally enjoy for a day's exercise on the earth. May I not forget your words. Amen. And that is the end of the document. This is among the most vivid descriptions we have of what a convert was thinking and feeling at the time of his conversion, with the description written by the convert himself. In those almost 8 years which remained in his life, Pascal was a changed man. It was during this time that he began the initial work on Pensées, He also developed a keen desire to defend the Christian faith and supply arguments for the reasonability of the faith. Since he had been in the company of gamblers during those 2 years before his conversion, Pascal had developed an approach geared toward gamblers to making a conversion to Christianity a logical and reasonable thing to do. This is known as Pascal's wager. He proposed, in essence, that we either have an afterlife or we don't. If we live here in this life acting as if there is an afterlife but there isn't, we've lived nobly but to no one's further pain or punishment or reward. However, if we live this life as if there is not an afterlife, but there really is, we suffer eternal punishment for living an evil life here on earth. Pascal's point is that the logical thing to do is to live the Christian life, since no further harm could come from this after this life. Either we die and nothing further happens, or we die and have heaven. It is the logical thing for a gambler to do. The document which Pascal wrote has become known as his memorial. For him, it was an object to remember his intense conversion experience on that night in November of 1654. He never published this. He kept that souvenir with him at all times. We know this since, after his death, the memorial was found sewn inside Pascal's coat after Pascal had died. I thought it was important to let you know about this hidden treasure, since it is often assumed that one who is intellectual and oriented to a life of the mind will have a cold heart toward the Lord. This doesn't need to be the case. It shouldn't be the case. I have heard the saying that in the Christian faith, information without transformation is useless. Pascal's writings are strong evidence that the information he had about the faith, in which he reasoned through, left him a transformed man. God allowed a man who contributed so much to science and mathematics to be uncommonly moved by his grace one night in 1654. I highly recommend this memorial for your further study and reading, as well as Poncet's, for which I will also be providing a link on the Restoring the Core website for this episode. In closing, I want to reread a brief section of the memorial and leave you with a reflection on it. Pascal wrote, quote, "God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, not of the philosophers and of the learned," end quote. Note what Blaise Pascal says here. He points to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and contrasts him with the God of the philosophers and the learned. This is an important lesson for us. In a time of growing atheism in our culture, many of us are eager to show the reasonability of believing in God. We might actually use a number of logical arguments to show that there must be a God. However, we must be careful. The God who is personal. He created the heavens and the earth. He is a trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in one God. In our zeal to defend God, we must make sure that we defend the existence of the God of the Bible, the personal God of the Bible, instead of simply making God the conclusion of a good set of logical arguments. Thank you for listening to this program. We can be contacted at mail@restoringthecore.com. We are on Facebook at www.facebook.com/restoringthecore. You can also follow us on Twitter at @RestoreTheCore. My original blog is still active and can be found at schoolofthesolitaryplace.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you join us next time for Finding Hidden Treasure.